Welcome back to Pax Europiana. This is about EU days, the celebration days. It's the 2nd of May today, and it's the day when the charter, the Adriatic Charter, was created. By the way, Adriatic Charter, all the listeners of my podcast will know, it's not about chartering a beautiful sailing boat in the Adriatic Sea. No, that's the successor of the so-called Vilnius Charter for NATO accession. And it's very much a good opening for the NATO accession month of May 2021, because in this month I will discuss a lot about NATO in the run-up of the big EU-NATO summit and the visit of President Biden in Brussels in the mid of June, and also to celebrate Austrian's road towards NATO. On the 15th of May, I plan activities towards, because it's the day where the Austrian State Treaty of Neutrality was signed, and I'm obviously in favor of scrapping that treaty and Austria joining NATO. And obviously we could start with the so-called Adriatic Charter. That would be the best way to start. But let's come back to the year 2003, because that's the day where the charter was signed on the 2nd of May 2003 in Tirana. And it was obviously in the run-up of the big NATO enlargement. Obviously, not all countries could join in the 2004 enlargement when there was the Big Bang and NATO enlargement and EU enlargement. And so many countries, 10 countries joined the European Union in May. Everybody knows that obviously now. And also 7 countries on the 29th of March, they joined NATO in that year. But then the question was how to prepare the next round of enlargement. The American decision makers, George Bush, they knew they cannot do Albania right now, Macedonia right now, Croatia right now, and also what is with Bosnia, Serbia, Kosovo. So they decided to make a follow-up to the Vilnius Charter with the so-called Adriatic Charter. That must be the strategic reasoning in that it was set up. And when you look at the Wikipedia page, like I have it here open now as well, you see the so-called Adriatic Charter 5, it's actually 5 and 2 observers. Yes, exactly, I see 5. Yeah. So it's Croatia, it's Bosnia, it's Montenegro, Albania and North Macedonia. That's exactly 5. And Serbia and Kosovo as observers. So you see also the big success of this process, because it has led under some kind of time shifting, it has led to the membership. 2009 was the enlargement with Albania and with Croatia. 2017 was Montenegro's turn. 2020, North Macedonia. And now the big question is obviously about Bosnia's NATO accession. And then the question about Serbia and Kosovo. Bosnia with a majority in favor, but blocked by the Serbian kind of leverage they have built themselves in blocking big constitutional questions with the Dayton Agreement. So, and definitely Belgrade is blocking then Banja Luka and insisting on blocking the NATO future. So this has to be either addressed by America or it will not work. Yeah? So there's clarity in that one. But Bosnia is member of full member. And then there are 2 observer members like Serbia and the Republic of Kosovo. And obviously these open questions here in the relationship of these 3 states with each other, and they are blocking further progress, and we have to tackle that. But the idea to have such a Vilnius successor organization is, of course, very logical and very important. And actually, it is interesting that the Europeans are not member, but as I found out, Slovenia recently joined as an observer as well, which is very logical and very clever. But in principle, the whole context is that the U.S. Defense Department has a tool of direct talking to the accession countries and help them directly, not via the whole NATO process. They also help accession countries and do a lot. But this is the Vilnius format was the same, and also the Adriatic format is the direct help of the U.S. Defense Department to the countries which want to join to prepare them technically. They have then this kind of liaison committees with the U.S. Navy, with the Air Force, with the whole officers. They have a lot of officers in Europe based, and now they do everything, of course, digitally. but they work then and help with the technical preparations towards NATO accession, possibly also with the political accession, yeah. And then they have these dialogue forums. They are quite public. And now they have a rotating membership, leadership. And always one country of the five is leading this Adriatic Five dialogue. Why it's important? Obviously, it's very important for Bosnia, Serbia, and Kosovo. There's no doubt about it. They all should join NATO. But I'm advocating now since 5 years, as you see, very unsuccessfully, but it doesn't stop me to advocate it, that also the other potential EU candidate countries, which we are NATO candidate countries, like Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova. Moldova is not an aspirant now because they have in the constitution neutrality, but they would be obviously very logical, fitting very much to the same status like Serbia as an observer in the Adriatic Charter, and also Ukraine and Georgia to sit in this Adriatic Charter. The same like Serbia and Kosovo. Obviously, they don't want to be in contact with Kosovo. I've understood that already. They are like very intransigent on that. And they don't want to even sit wherever, for example, Bosnia and Serbia, which have not recognized, are sitting with Kosovo military representatives in this dialogue. But the Ukrainians should be basically told by the Americans to come along, and also the Georgians and the Moldovans. And my best guess is also that the countries of the EU, which are unfortunately not, and that's the pity, but I'm calling for Austria, for Sweden, for Finland, for Ireland, for Malta, and for Cyprus to also join the Adriatic Charter. Maybe as observers like Slovenia, and that is an option, but to take care more about the security dimension of the Adriatic is something very logical for Malta, Cyprus, and Austria, maybe a bit less for Finland, Sweden, and Ireland, but they can also help a bit here and help our Adriatic partners, and also show responsibility, and with that also to move closer to NATO, because, you know, I'm for a big bang NATO and enlargement, and for sure for a big discussion in Europe, who is in NATO and why some countries historically have never joined and why that is actually and if that needs to change. Because I'm calling obviously for Ireland, Finland, Sweden, for Cyprus and Malta and Austria to also join NATO. So we will have a NATO of 42 members and 12 new Europeans to join. As I'm very logically, six who are already in the EU and they were allowed in 73, Ireland, or then 95 or 2004, Cyprus and Malta, and also Finland and Sweden and Austria, and Austria, Finland, Sweden in 1995. Sorry, I'm confused now. And so we have 12 countries. I just want to be clear. So that's actually the situation. And that would give a lot of security focus on the Western Balkans, a lot of accession focus if these countries join, and also it would support peace in the Balkans between Serbia and Kosovo, but also in Ukraine, and that it's called Adriatic Charter. Some might say, let's call it Adriatic Black Sea Charter. Fine for me, if we need to change the name, it's not a kind of so formalized mechanism. It's more, you know, a work platform, you know, it's not an international treaty organization. So you can call it Adriatic Black Sea Charter if it's necessary, could be changed. But I think Adriatic Charter, or many people from Ukraine anyhow love to be in the Adriatic in the summer. So the Ministry of Defense and Foreign Affairs officials would love to be invited to this dialogue. And if they just start as an observer, and that's my proposal, that A5 stays A5 as it is, but all the others, the six EU neutrals, and also Moldova, Ukraine and Georgia, come just as observers, like Serbia and Kosovo. So we don't have big diplomatic problems with such a format. It's actually, you know, just observers, you know, they also attend, they learn, they see, they meet, they understand each other, they benefit from the processes of pre-NATO accession. They can then also discuss other things, learning about the Kosovo-Serbian peace process, for example, but also about the Adriatic security situation in general. It's not bad. And then it's the same people probably who are in the Defense Department responsible for the relation with the Adria and the Black Sea. I don't think, to my best knowledge, that the American Navy has a separate Black Sea fleet. It's probably covered by the Sixth Fleet. And it's probably the same people who work in the Defense Department and in the State Department on issues of the Balkans and of Ukraine. Maybe on the they have different officers, but it's a similar department for Eastern Europe, to my best knowledge. It might be different, but I think that there is there's Mrs. Victoria Nuland, I heard. She's appointed for political affairs. She definitely knows all these issues very well. And also there is the ambassador Payat in Greece, who was also before in Ukraine. So I think it's only one American foreign policy, one American Pentagon. Ultimately, I'm sure they can also make common meetings there. So they can do common video conferences. I think it's very helpful for Ukraine, Georgia to be in a working process, integrated, and also for the other EU neutrals, when the Irish really insist on their neutrality and the Swedes are really not interested in Ukraine. They have been the last 1,000 years interested in Ukraine, but maybe no longer. And as to my best knowledge, the Swedes are very active in Southeastern Europe. So there would be nothing speaking against that their Ministry of Defense officials are also joining these Zoom meetings of Adriatic Charter. In that way, there is, for example, if you look, because there is no website, it's not such a own institution. But if you go to the U.S. Department of Defense, read out 2020 U.S. Adriatic Charter Defense Ministerial immediate release from the 13th of November 2020. You see, for example, members and observer nations of U.S. Adriatic Charter or A5 conducted a meeting of defense ministers via video conference today. This year's A5 chairman, Bosnia was the chairman, is had representative of meeting of Albania, Croatia, Kosovo, Montenegro, North Macedonia, Slovenia in attendance. Mr. Anthony Tata, performing of duties Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. That's actually the position I think Mrs. Nuland has now, Secretary of Defense for Policy. I don't know so well. Yeah, that's sorry. Maybe she's in the State Department. I mixed it up. Sorry. The purpose of the session was to discuss multilateral security priorities and strengthen NATO's strategic partnership in Southeastern Europe. The leaders shared lessons learned from the fight against COVID. And so this is what they do. Representatives also discussed strengthening regional security, combating malign influences in Southeastern Europe, and NATO's open-door policy. All sides reaffirmed their commitment to build upon this year's success of the A5 as Croatia takes over the chair 2021. Interesting information. I learned that also just recently. I then looked at the Montenegro website. There is not so much, but here they have also transparency. On the 11th March 2021, meeting of A5 defense and political directors. That's the Croatian foreign ministry now. They have this transparent communication. Director General for Multilateral and Global Affairs at the Ministry of Foreign and European Affairs, Matteo Scraballo, and Dunja Bujan from the Defense Policy Directorate General of the Defense Ministry chaired a video conference of U.S. Adriatic Charter defense policy directors and political directors. Croatia took over the A5 presidency in 2021 from Bosnia-Herzegovina. Also participating in the meeting were defense and foreign affairs representative of the other A5 members, Albania, Bosnia, Montenegro, Macedonia, and the United States. That's why actually it's six, because the United States is a full member of that, as well as representative from the observer countries, Kosovo, Slovenia, and Serbia. So Slovenia is official of Serbia country. And this year's, and if Slovenia is, I think also Austria can, and Ukraine, and Cyprus, and Malta, and Ireland, Sweden, Finland. That's my proposal. So let's see if somebody listens and likes it. This year's first high-level meeting was opened by the Croatian representatives, who outlined the program and priorities as well as the activity calendar of the Croatian presidency. Through joint efforts, we established a charter, which has grown into not only a successful model of regional security and defense cooperation, but also a driving force for the integration of all its member states into NATO. Even though the pandemic has hampered our practical cooperation, these challenges give us additional reason to advance the cooperation so that our region could become more resilient to the security challenges we are all facing, says Buyan. The participants then exchange views and proposals for enhancing the A5 armed forces interoperability, advancing cooperation in the fight against cyber threats, and the importance of Euro-Atlantic processes in Southeastern Europe. In addition, the participants underscored the importance of NATO's open door policy as a catalyst for reform, as well as cooperation with the US and transatlantic ties in forming responses to the complex security threats of today, notable hybrid and cyber threats, as well as the disinformation campaigns which are increasingly targeting the countries of Southeastern Europe. Scaraballo, that's one of the Croatian ministry officials, stressed that the continuation of the open door policy was crucial for the Western Balkans as well as for the security and stability of the Euro-Atlantic area. In this process that should be complemented the EU enlargement, the European unification process will truly be completed only when the Western Balkans is included too, Scaraballo underlined. The US Adriatic Charter was founded in 2003 as a partnership regional security and defense initiative whose fundamental goal is to strengthen multilateral relations between countries of Southeastern Europe with the aim of full NATO and EU integration. Wonderful! So, let's get it done! And let's get Bosnia in NATO! Then also EU candidate status. Well, let's do it. Let's get Kosovo in the Partnership for Peace of NATO. And let's also see application of Kosovo to NATO membership and of Serbia to NATO membership. And let's also get the other countries in Ukraine, Moldova and Georgia as observer members into that format together with the six EU neutrals, because this is the best format. It's also the only working format. Some are talking about Three Seas Initiative, but that's not a NATO pre-accession format. The Adriatic Charter, to my best knowledge, is the only working instrument here of regional pre-accession networking and improving interoperability of the US Defense Department with the countries of the region. They have certainly also bilateral arrangements with Ukraine and Georgia, no doubt. But wouldn't it be much more helpful to learn from the existing framework to be a partner? These are also already NATO allies. So all of them, like Croatia, Albania, Montenegro, Macedonia, will also have a say about future NATO accession of any of the other countries and also about EU membership in terms of Croatia and Slovenia. They are already EU members. They obviously are interested to get the fellow NATO allies in the EU. They make it very clear. That must be also American interest. We have to crack the EU open together. But it's also important to have Ukraine somewhere integrated, meaningful, where it's not too politically sensitive, but where they can learn a lot. It's the Adriatic Charter. I published in the European Council for Foreign Relations, together with Andreas Umland, who is the political scientist, I made an interview already. He helped me to get this published in 2018. And I had also in the Atlantic Council one feature where I made this case for Ukraine and Georgia to be then integrated in the Southeastern European reform structures. But the silly people in the Foreign Ministry of Ukraine never understood what I meant when they were only so focused, like paralyzed for Kosovo fear, that they never joined the Regional Cooperation Council, they never joined the Adriatic Charter. And in the Trump times, anyhow, much was lost and that was complicated to have regional debate, rational decision making. So now in the Biden, it's about time to get Ukraine, Moldova and Georgia into this Adriatic Five as observers and the other neutral if possible as well. But first of all, Ukraine and Georgia. It's so logical. It's so good. And it's really a wonderful idea. I cannot see anything which would count against it. It's anyhow only observer membership. They would get acquainted much more to the Balkans. A lot of good can be happening out of it. They can then understand why it's important to join also the Regional Cooperation Council and of the Balkan countries. It's the Southeastern European countries. Moldova is already there. They could also understand why these old structures exist, like CEFTA, Central European Free Trade Agreement, and so on and so on and so on. But okay, that's the extra benefits and all the other about 10 regional cooperation mechanisms, which I have advertised in this podcast so often. And the Ukrainians, despite my relative desperate lobbying in the last years, have never found the necessity to join and to listen to me. But okay, that's my destiny, loneliness. And so I'm a lonely podcaster promoting further integration of Ukraine and Georgia via the Balkan backdoors into NATO and the EU. But the Ukrainian heroes want only to go straight ahead to Brussels, because ignorance is only beaten by arrogance in Kiev. And, you know, that's the sad reality of my last 5 years, where I tried to get this done. By the way, happy Easter. I see today is also, it was the Easter Sunday, so I'm a really big fan of Ukraine, and I will congratulate you, and I'm very happy for the progress towards peace in Ukraine. But ultimately, I'm not so happy about the arrogance and ignorance of this decision makers back in Kiev, who in the last 5 years, when I was running like Don Quixote towards the idea of the Balkan backdoor for Ukraine, and they have always ignored me, and they have not welcomed my advice. Quite obviously, they have even rejected it. And to this day, it's not happening. But, you know, when I think about it, the longer I think about it, to have this wonderful networking tool from the US Defense Department ready for anybody who wants to have it, I think there would be no problem to have one more delegation in Tirana or in Zagreb sitting from Ukraine. Yeah, and by the way, Croatia is a very good friend of Ukraine, I was understanding, and it's also fitting very much. There is a lot of Croatian-Ukrainian bilateral friendship. It's also, in a way, a Western part of a Slavic Union. It wants to escape, so there is a lot of parallels you can make. So the Croatians, Plenković, he was a very good friend of the former Prime Minister of Ukraine, Koisman. They had a really good understanding. So things seemed to, I was confident there will be something concrete happening, but it didn't. Yeah. Maybe in Washington, Brussels, Berlin, Paris, some powerful people, they have decided, no, never ever the beautiful Balkans will be invaded by the Ukrainians to bring all the problems with them. And this is totally too much. Or the Russians were lobbying against it, or the Americans have this very strong policy of separating Eastern Europe and ex-Soviet countries from Southeastern Europe. There is so many theories. I really never found anybody who could explain me why I'm wrong on that one. You know, and I talked to as many people as somebody was ready to listen to me or allowed me to ask questions. In all Austrian, Ukrainian, and other decision-making circles I had access to, I asked them, what about the Adriatic Charter? You know, mostly the people don't know about it. When I explain it, no, they say that's something completely different, the Adria and the Black Sea. As if there would be two defense departments from America. And if when you look and you have to secure the world's situation from Pentagon, you have this gigantic map room, and then it's a real big difference between the Adria and between the Black Sea. And as if it would not be the same ships, actually, and the same commander. I don't know, they probably have a Navy commander in Naples, I think they are headquartered, I'm not really very sure. And there is one American general responsible for the Mediterranean and the Black Sea, I guess. Yeah. And also politically, these officers will be the same. You know, and it's not really very far. You know, you take, I don't know how long a ship takes from Tirana to the Black Sea, 2-3 days, yeah. I have no naval competence at all. I'm just a humble economist who loves the Balkans and Ukraine, and I can just say that there is these institutions, they are working, they meet, they have these activities. One more delegation, or even 12 more delegations, would not make such a big difference. Actually, they would all help a lot, because all these are anyhow the same ministry officials, and then it would make such a wonderful new development when suddenly it was announced that now Ukraine, Georgia, and Moldova are also observer members for the Adriatic Charter, and then it's still called A5, plus two. And let me make the count, the head count. It has six members because one is from America, the United States. It's five countries full members, so that's six, yeah? And obviously four are already in NATO. What a success story. And since 2004, these are all the countries who joined in NATO recently since the Big Bang enlargement 2004. That's Croatia, Montenegro, Albania, Macedonia. And obviously about Bosnia, the big political issue is really NATO accession of Bosnia this year, 2021. And then obviously Kosovo and Serbia, two observers. Let's have three more observers. Cannot be more complicated. It's done, no problem. And we put a little bit of pressure on the Serbs that, you know, there are countries out there who really want to join. Because Moldova is a bit of an issue similar to Serbia in some extent. We will see after the July 2021 elections if they will be much more pro-European after the parliament elections. But Ukraine and Georgia, absolutely, they are already ranked as aspirant country in the NATO website. So it would be very good. And it puts a bit of competitive pressure on Serbia and with its pro-Chinese policies. And with its other, so many things, I don't want to mention all of them, but, you know, to have suddenly big Ukraine on the table, that would be certainly fantastic. If then Serbia doesn't appear anymore, because they normally, and that is in reality, I suppose, what happens, that the Serbs said, if the Ukrainians come, we don't show up. And then every appeaser was, of course, shocked. And so, no, no, please, would you please stay with us? Because that's how it works in the blackmail situation of international politics in the Balkans. So, nevertheless, I think it's a good idea. I think the world needs American leadership on that one, not on taxation. And on that one, that is an American invitation, actually. I think it's the US Defense Department who invites, who joins here. It's probably not a consultation process, but it's a knowledge transfer and capacity building effort by the United States of America, the most important global superpower of today, our protector nation, our lead nation in NATO. They have the generosity to invite these 5+2 countries to listen, to learn, and to adopt and to support them certainly as well in capacity building and to in with their kind attention. And why not, when America anyhow has taken over the security care also for Georgia and for Ukraine and Moldova? I think the time where Yugoslavia and Soviet Union affairs had to be separately dealt by Russian and Serbian speakers, they should be over for good. These are all English speakers now. This is the future. It's not about Russian speakers and Serbian speakers. It's not Tito Stalin time. It's the time of Biden. It's Biden inviting these nations. If they join, then if they show up, good. If not, bad. But I think it's time for this first modest step to be really successful. And I promise I would make a bottle of beer. I love to drink beer. I don't drink champagne. When this is happens, because I think it's a wonderful plan. Next year is the then 19th anniversary, 2003 will be the 20th anniversary of this baby organization, this small nucleus, let's call it nucleus, which George W. Bush has created in the Adria. And now it comes to fruition. Four of his initiatives, kind of four, they have joined already. Bosnia to join NATO now, and Ukraine to be an observer, Georgia as well. And so the big mission of NATO enlargement goes on. We can at least achieve this. Yeah. And this is no Senate ratification. No kind of parliament has to vote for it. It's just an invitation email by the US state, the United States Defense Department. It can be done. It's just a good idea. Need somebody to take it on in the United States. And I will send this podcast to the SecDef for sure the moment it's online. So thanks for listening. Let's hope it works. It would be very good for a better world. And celebrate every 2nd of May, the Adriatic Charter. And by the way, let's say thanks for George W. Bush leadership to have established these important institutions. And it has led to four new NATO allies already. And that's a big achievement. So far, so good. Thanks a lot for listening. And Hope to see you on the Adria one day. So, goodbye.